Yeah, look, to be honest, I'm not too sure it should be mandatory, but you know, everyone's going to have their different beliefs and opinions on this matter, and yeah, I don't know if we should be forcing them to do anything that they wouldn't be comfortable doing. I know others would have a different opinion on that, but yeah, I guess that's my opinion.
David Swallow, it's going to come to a head. David Swallow, who is the captain of the Gold Coast Suns, and it has been reported that in Queensland, if you want to play competitive contact sport like the NRL and AFL, you're going to have to get the flu shot. That's the way it's looking right now. So if you want to stand out of footy and not play and not go to work with the rest of the people in your workplace, then that's your choice. So you're still going to have a choice not to have a flu jab, but it looks like it's looming for the NRL and the AFL players that you're going to have a flu jab if you want to play. A couple of late ones through for What's Open, thanks to the good people at Urban Alley who have provided SEN, and a lot of people who've jumped onto Urban Alley with some hand sanitizer. Hello, John and the team at Just Surprise Me, justsurprisemedotcom.au. They provide a range of hampers, and with Mother's Day just around the corner, it's the perfect place to click on for a gift idea. Just Surprise Me. Thanks for that one coming through. Please plug Remtron Automation, servicing essential services and food, beverage and pharmaceuticals. Dom in Brayside. And hi, Dwayne Pike. Dwayne Pipe Alliance Electrical Services, fully open, servicing Melbourne Metro. Thanks, Stuart. And one here coming through from Adam on the speckled text as well. Communication levels at Adelaide are poor. I thought they were only 30 minutes behind, but can you confirm that they're using two cans and a piece of string right now? Michelangelo Rucci is the co-host of Kimbo and the Rooch and former chief football writer for The Advertiser, who's been good enough to join me to give me an update from what's happening in Adelaide. It's interesting, as I welcome you, Rooch, great to have you on the program. I really appreciate your time.
No problem at all. I had a little chuckle then at that text or email that you had there. It's nice when someone can find something to make a smile out of a rather tricky situation for the Adelaide Football Club.
And it's interesting the way it's been reported now, because I was, you know, checking the Advertiser website and I was looking at the West Australian website, and the West Australian website headline is Crows deny deliberately breaking the AFL's rules. So there is this fine line between the way you write the headline, Crows accidentally break rules, or but just throwing the deliberately word in your headline is a little provocative. How are you reading this right now?
It's got some interesting elements in terms of what the intent was and how it all played out. So clearly, when Adelaide, when they brought their 16 players back from interstate and understood they had to be put into 2 weeks of quarantine, it's interesting how it's been explained by Adelaide. Now, they say they couldn't get all the equipment needed to have each player work independently at home. And I understand that in some cases that would have been difficult also for some players, particularly the young ones who had come from interstate and were billeted with host families. That would have been difficult to handle that situation. But
It wouldn't have been that hard to drop some gear off at 10 players' doors.
No, I mean in terms of them self-isolating in a host family's house. There was some difficulty with that. But I am bemused as to why you would put 16 players together. If one of them was at risk, why put all 16 at risk? So I'm not sure that's quite been the smartest move by Adelaide, and particularly when they try to seek to justify what they did by saying they took it to SA Police. I would have thought you would have also had to have taken it to SA Health and taken some advice from them as to whether it's smart to put 16 people together in self-isolation. Now, the issue of finding the equipment, well, people will look at that and say, gee, there's a lot of gym equipment that's going idle at the moment, and the influence the Adelaide Football Club has. You're right, Dwayne, it shouldn't be that hard to get a carry truck and send them a treadmill and everything else. And then to note that the dietitian is at this camp, which sort of leads you to wonder what sort of condition these 16 players have returned, and whether in the end what looks like a training camp was a training camp. So there's a lot of elements to this which seem rather difficult to understand as to what Adelaide was all about. But when Adam Kelly, their new football chief, was very strong on SEN on Tuesday about demanding that the AFL hold true to its notion that everyone could only train in pairs and everyone had to get to the start line together, to then have this unfold at the Barossa where we might be splitting hairs as to whether it was two groups of eight or one big group of 16 working end-to-end footy. It's not a great look for Adelaide. It's not a great look for the AFL when they're working very hard to break down some barriers with the WA government and the SA state government. And now puts a big challenge upon the AFL to make some sort of statement in how they handle Adelaide. It's good that Adelaide's put up its hand and said, we got it wrong. But what was their real intent with putting everyone together in the Barossa for 2 weeks? It does have that image of a training camp to just bring some players very quickly up to speed and probably hasn't been handled too well at all. Now it puts an enormous challenge on the AFL to make sure that it sets the right image and the right standard across Australian sport at a time when the NRL is ready to bring out a baseball bat.
And how did no one know about it? They're keeping it a secret. That's obviously just an accident. They would have loved to have told us all, but they just forgot to.
Oh, it's not Adelaide style to give daily and hourly updates on what they're doing. So
it's extraordinary, though, to go to this length and then not just say, hey, we're putting our players that are coming back from isolation all together in the one hotel. And were they allowed to train in twos? And were you allowed to change that two each day? So were they all, the 16 players, in contact or going to be in contact with each other during the course of that isolation stay?
Yeah, as you say, Dwayne, there's a lot of questions there. And it's one that would be interesting to roll it past SA Health and say, if you were having a look at the protocols the Adelaide Football Club was putting in place in this supposed quarantine camp, does it actually stack up with what you would have recommended? So, again, heaps of questions. And just another issue for the Adelaide Football Club. You know, at a time when they've gone through an external review and put a fair bit of heat on what became Don Pike's destiny and Brett Burton as their football chief and Scott Camporeale as their senior assistant, a couple of key moments ever since which would suggest that maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea for Jason Dunstall and co. to come back and do a review and audit of just where Adelaide stands 6 months later and whether they're living up to what that external review should have delivered. Because it's gone clearly beyond Pike, Burton and Gabrielli.
So the repercussions now for the Adelaide Football Club and these 16 players, I presume a big fine's coming their way. I've suggested that they have a draft pick taken off them rather than get a 2 or 3 game suspension. I'd prefer a draft pick than suspensions because it's going to advantage the teams that play early in this resumption to actually play Adelaide with 16 players unavailable and disadvantage those that meet them late.
So what are the options here, Dwayne? You can hit fines, which a heavy fine on the Adelaide Football Club or even on its players or perhaps even Ben Hart, who was the assistant coach who was supposed to be in charge. I'm not sure that sends the right message. The other option is, like you say, draft picks, but you know that would be interesting as to how Adelaide reacts to that. The other one is, do you dock them premiership points? Do you take the same stance that was taken with Essendon through the supplement saga, where they were hit with their premiership points docked and not able to play finals in that year? The options are there for the AFL, and considering Steve Hocking's attitude very early this week about no one was to stuff up, and that's cleaning up the language, well, Adelaide's delivered a pretty big black eye for the AFL and put a fair bit of embarrassment upon the AFL executive. So there's got to be some meaningful penalty that it says this certainly won't be tolerated, and if any other club steps beyond the 2-point limit to training, then they'll be hit with an even heavier penalty. So maybe the best option is premiership points, which sends the strongest message across the league and the competition.
Yeah, the reason I don't like that is that it'll drop Adelaide down the draft order, so they'd actually get a benefit from it. They weren't going to make the finals anyway. So why should they end up with the number one draft pick because they've been docked premiership points? It's going to penalise the team that would have got the number one draft pick otherwise.
Well, you can still rework how you do the draft order in the same.
Okay.
What process did we have with this? Well, Essendon just went down to ninth, didn't they? Yeah, well, you could probably then say for the draft order, you add back the 16 points to add where Adelaide goes in the draft order, but on the premiership table, they're going to have to work off a minus 16 base at the moment or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah, so at least they get penalised draft-wise without... Yeah.
You can work that one. That's not an impossible task, that one.
Hmm. Any heads roll after this, Rich, before I let you go?
Well, I mean, it's an intriguing one as to who will actually... I mean, it's interesting that Matthew Nix is taking the responsibility at this point, saying he...
Did he know? How you have 16 players in isolation at a venue without your coach knowing that that's what we're doing with 16 of your boys?
Yeah, and Kane Corns is making a very good point this morning that when you look at Matthew Nix's media interviews on Tuesday, particularly when he was on Sports Day there in Melbourne, saying that the 16 players, this is him speaking on Tuesday, would be working at home, you know, the treadmills sent out to them and so forth. There's been a dramatic change somewhere by the time he's had that statement made publicly and what appears then on the Barossa shortly after. So, yeah, look, it would be interesting to get the whole timeline and the whole understanding of how Adelaide went down this path. Until we have that, let's say those investigations internally and with the AFL, there's a heap of questions that remain unanswered.
Yeah, and the Adelaide Crows might not end up answering them. The AFL might, when they hold a press conference, hand down the sanctions and say, here's what really happened. Because if we hear it from the Adelaide Crows, I'm not sure 100% of the football public will believe it. If we hear it from the AFL, then it's going to be believed by more. Great to have a chat to you, Roach. Love hearing your stuff, and it's a pleasure for me to talk to you again. Good luck.
And let's hope the footy is back very, very soon, Dwayne.
You got a date for me?
I'm still hopeful of June 18, but I understand that, you know, it's a moving feast and there are a lot of other parties that are involved in the final decisions and a lot of it's out of the AFL hand. But if June 18, that will work for me.
Good stuff. Michelangelo Rucci joining us, chief football writer for The Advertiser for decades and now co-host of Kimbo on the Reach. Tim from Reservoir, give us a call back. You've picked up a bottle of Ned Australian Whiskey. You can't see a mate today, so why not send them a bottle of Ned Australian Whiskey. Thanks to all of the people that have called and texted in during the course of today. It's been an absolute pleasure for me to have your company today and again this week. I'll be back Monday. Looking forward to your company, as always, on Monday. But stick around. Bob and Andy coming up after the break. John Segler, Beck Danaher, and Jake Nile with the big news stories of the day. So plenty still to come with Bob and Andy. Stick around. You can catch them next.